Bibles, if you will, and stand and turn to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. And tonight we're going to look on another aspect of the symbolism of Barabbas. It's something that the Lord has given me, and I'm glad to be sharing it with you at this present hour. Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Shall we pray together? Our Lord, tonight, sanctify this endeavor, make it acceptable in thy sight, give listening ears, attentive minds, and do whatever work has to be done. Quiet our hearts and minds before thee, and give us ability to grasp these things as thou hast set them before us. How glad we are that the day of salvation is today, and that the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, dear Lord, tonight, there's probably somebody here tonight that's never heard thy voice. Cause them to hear it, and then, Lord, enable them to turn from sin and to close in with thee. But we ask again, glorify thyself in this endeavor, and thank you again for this precious privilege. We ask it, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today we're going to look at Barabbas again, and our subject is the symbolism of Barabbas. Now, during this week, I've given you a series of studies so far with regard to Barabbas, and we find Barabbas does this. Number one, he portrays as a sinner. Secondly, he portrays God's method of redemption. Thirdly, we saw last night God's method of salvation. And now tonight, we're going to look at Barabbas and see him as a picture of the Antichrist. Now, I want you to listen carefully like you never will listen before. We're going to review a moment or two because I want you to notice. Barabbas is a wonderful portrait of our redemption. How? Number one, singled out for deliverance. Verse 7. There was one named Barabbas which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Here we see Barabbas bound, singled out for deliverance. And we find when God sets out to save an individual, the first thing he does, he singles out that individual. God doesn't come to you and say, you'd make me happy if you let me save you. Or else God doesn't come to the individual and say, now Christ died for you, or Christ died for sinners, and now he's done everything he can, and now it's up to you. That's not so. Yes. Nothing is up to us. Salvation is all of God, and it's all of grace. And every one of us, listen now, every one of us got to come to Christ the same way that Barabbas came. Now notice, number one, he was singled out for deliverance. Now you say, how do you know? Verse 7 tells us where he was, and then in verse 15, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas for redemption. Third, we saw last night, and now tonight, we're going to look at Barabbas and see him as a picture of the Antichrist. Now I want you to listen carefully, like you never will listen before. We're going to review a moment or two, because I want you to notice. Barabbas is a wonderful portrait of our redemption. How? Number one, singled out for deliverance. Verse 7. There was one named Barabbas which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Here we see Barabbas bound, singled out for deliverance. And we find when God sets out to save an individual, the first thing he does, he singles out that individual. God doesn't come to you and say, you'd make me happy if you let me save you. Or else God doesn't come to the individual and say, now Christ died for you, or Christ died for sinners, and now he's done everything he can, and now it's up to you. That's not so. Yes. Nothing is up to us. Salvation is all of God, and it's all of grace. And every one of us, listen now, every one of us got to come to Christ the same way that Barabbas came. Now notice, number one, he was singled out for deliverance. Now you say, how do you know? Verse 7 tells us where he was, and then in verse 15, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Barabbas is a picture of our redemption, singled out for deliverance, as God just everyone that's ever converted. Secondly, we find very clearly, he stood at the disposal of the sovereign. When Barabbas stood before Pilate, he did not know that Pilate was going to release him. And are you listening? When God brings us under Holy Spirit conviction, we stand before God the Father, who's our judge, and we do not know that he will deliver us until it comes to pass. But we stand there at his discretion, and he can save whom he will, and he lets go whom he will, and every individual that isn't saved is condemned to a devil's hell forever and ever. I want to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has the Lord God of heaven ever done this to you? Has he singled you out, called you by name, put you under the judgment of God, showed you who you were, what you were, the judgment you're under for Jesus? And I'll tell you right now, you never, 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 never get over it. I hope you know what I'm talking about. The second thing about Barabbas, as I mentioned before, he stood at the disposal of the sovereign. The third thing is this. Barabbas was saved by substitution. Now you say, what are you talking about? In verse 15, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Barabbas knew, and he knew that he knew it, that Jesus Christ took his place. He saw this by the physical eye. All right? We see the same thing by the spiritual eye as the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in our hearts. And as the Apostle Paul says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to receive his Son in me, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, beloved, as I mentioned before, I'll say it again. There's three things wrong in our evangelism of today. Number one, people don't know what you're talking about when you ask them, have you heard the voice of God? Have you? Let me prove it to you. Turn back to John chapter 5. Keep your finger on Barabbas. We're coming right back to him. But in John chapter 5, we find very clearly, this is the word of God. People say, well, you can't tell me that we have to hear the voice of God. If I couldn't tell you that, I wouldn't say that. But in John chapter 5, and we find verse 25, these words, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear that sound. The hour is coming. That's future. We haven't reached that yet. But the hour now is. That means presently. And what's happening? The hour now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Because you have to recognize one thing, and people don't seem to understand it, but every individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is dead spiritually before God. You have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And in our churches today, they drag people down the aisle. They use one verse of Scripture here, one verse of Scripture over there. They ask them, do you believe this? Oh, yeah. Well, then you're saved. They've never heard the voice of God. And if they don't hear the voice of God, they remain in their dead condition. Now, I've had people come along and say, well, you've got to prove that. I can prove that from the Garden of Eden to the book of the Revelation. And I want to tell you something. When you listen to a doctrine, you better ask yourself this question. Can that doctrine be found from Genesis to Revelation, what I'm preaching to you here tonight? Can be. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now you listen. If this hasn't happened to you, you know what I'm talking about. If it has, you know. You, every individual, can go back to the time when God spoke to them by his inner voice. It's a voice that comes to the innermost being of their soul. They don't hear an audible voice, but they hear the voice of God again, and saw Pilate release him. He stood before Pilate as a guilty, condemned, helpless individual. And we find when they cried out to the Lord Jesus, and they said concerning the Lord Jesus, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, what did he do? He released Barabbas unto them, and he took Jesus and scourged him and led him out to crucify him. Now, Barabbas saw, by the physical eye, the Lord Jesus Christ take his place. He also heard the voice of Pilate as he said to those soldiers, release him. All right, now, who did they release? They released Barabbas. And are you listening? That's a great picture of what takes place when God saves an individual. The Lord God of heaven says very clearly to the Holy Spirit of God, reveal Christ to him. And when that Holy Spirit of God does that, I'll tell you right now, what does it mean by releasing it? We find, beloved, listen, until we get converted, we are under the law. I'm going to prove that again. Turn to Galatians chapter 3 and see it for yourself. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, and we see it set forth for our learning. And I like this passage of Scripture because it tells us very clearly that faith is a revealed faith that God gives to us when we are enabled by Him to believe. In Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 22, listen to it. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given. Now notice, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, our pedagogue, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, Barabbas heard Pilate say, release him. The soldiers released him from the shackles that he was in. All right? He saw, physically, the Lord Jesus Christ take his place. We recognize and we see by the eye of faith the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you right now, when the Lord Jesus is revealed to us inside of us now, remember that, it's a subjective belief. It's a subjective revelation. And we find one moment we're not believing, the next moment we are believing. One moment we're under conviction, the next moment what happened is this, we are no longer under conviction. And the first amazement that comes to the individual is the fact that their conviction is gone. It's no longer there. We stand before God under conviction, under judgment, and we stand before God, weighted down by our sin and condemned by the law and helpless before the Lord God of heaven, and then suddenly and mysteriously and positively and indelibly and eternally, what happens? The Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to us by faith. And it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that's given to us. And we find what happens? Conviction is gone, the shackles of the law are gone, and we find what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you a question. Did that ever happen to you? If you don't know, then I put it down. It hasn't. Because a lot of people say, well, I don't remember what happened when God saved me. You can't remember to the greatest thing that ever happened to you? Something is wrong when they tell me these things. All right? Now, let's go back to our text again. Barabbas is a picture of how God saves a sinner. Secondly, we find Barabbas is also, now, a symbol of the... Now, we're a lot closer to that than a lot of people say. Now you say, preacher, what more are you talking about? All right, Barabbas is a symbol of the Antichrist. Mark chapter 15, verse 7, look at what it says. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. All right, we find Barabbas was guilty of rebellion and murder. Now the Antichrist is also, or will also be, guilty of rebellion and murder. Turn to the book of Revelation, if you will, and chapter 13, and see it for yourself as the Word of God brings it out. Revelation chapter 13, and we find verse 4, and then verse 7 and 8. And listen again, and follow along in your Bible, if it's possible for you to do so. In Revelation chapter 13, and verse 4, we read these words, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Now what do you have here? You have the rebellion of the Antichrist against God. And don't ever forget that. Then look again, if you will. We find in verse 7 and 8, and this is what it says. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Barabbas is a symbol of the Antichrist, both of them guilty of insurrection and murder. What in the world are you talking about? Is the Antichrist guilty of murder? He certainly is. Turn to Revelation chapter 13, if you will, and look again. We find in verse 16, and notice, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast. And then we find very clearly in verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, what kind of method is the Antichrist going to use? I'll show you. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 20, and we see it set forth in the Word of God. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their right hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Have you ever noticed? What's coming to the forefront now? You want me to tell you? The beheading of our soldiers. Now, how come? This world's getting ready for the Antichrist. That's the method he's going to use against everyone that will not receive the mark of the beast. And Barabbas is a symbol of that. Because Barabbas was guilty of murder and guilty of rebellion, and the Antichrist also will be guilty of murder, and he will also be guilty of rebellion. And then we find the second thing about Barabbas is this. He came in his own name, means of the Father. Now, hold you see. Satan's Christ is the Antichrist. And we find, take your Bibles now, and go back with me to the book of John. And we see it set forth, if you will. In the book of John, we find very clearly that he comes in his own name. John chapter 5 and verse 43. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the Pharisees, and he said point blank, he said very clearly, you won't believe me, I come in my Father's name, you won't believe me. But in John chapter 5 and verse 43, he said these words, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Now there you have the symbolism of the Antichrist. Both of them guilty of insurrection and murder. The Antichrist will come in his own name. He's the Son of the Father. And we find the Barabbas took that. His name means Son of the Father. All right. He was an unsaved man. All right. You know who his father was? The devil. Who's your father tonight? If it isn't God the Father, it's the devil. Because like the Lord Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your fellow of your father ye will do. And that's going on, and people don't like to hear that. You mean to tell me that I'm a son of Satan? Every individual without Christ is until God saves them. And we better understand that. And I'll tell you right now, it's an awesome thing when the Holy Spirit shows us that we are on the opposite side of the Lord God of heaven. Then we find again, the third thing about Barabbas is this. We find both of them, both the Barabbas and the Antichrist, appeal to the flesh. Again, Mark 15 and verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay direction with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection, and the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? All right, both of these, the Barabbas and the Antichrist, appeal to the flesh. Are you listening? I hope you are. Barabbas was a hero of the Jews. Well, why? He rose up in rebellion against Rome, and he committed murder in that rebellion. And so he was a hero of the Jews. All right, the Antichrist will come out in the field, and we find very clearly what's going to happen. I'll tell you again. We find he's a very notable person, and we find he appeals to the Word. Now go back again, Revelation chapter 13, if you will. Notice what it says, if you will, in verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now there you have, both the Antichrist and Barabbas do what? They appeal to the flesh. The Antichrist later on will declare that he is God, and we find they appeal to the flesh. Barabbas is a hero of the Jew, and the Antichrist also becomes a hero of the world. Oh, you say, how close are we to that? Have you ever noticed how the whole world rejoiced when Barack Obama was elected president? The whole world was happy. He's not the president of the United States. He's the president of the whole world. And the whole world, I'll tell you right now, are rejoicing that he is now in charge of the United States, because I'll tell you right now, he's beginning to compromise all the way down the line. And it's a sad commentary. And people may put me in jail for saying it right now. Look at his record, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Then we find the fourth thing about the Antichrist is this. Not only did both of them appeal to the flesh, we find Barabbas was a hero of the Jews, then Barabbas was also a notable prisoner, and then we find what happened. We see both of them appeal to the flesh, and the Antichrist is marked by his power and his ability. Now hold your seat, and turn back again to Revelation chapter 13. And we find very clearly, here you have the mark of the Antichrist, by which he's going to fool all kinds of people, and except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation chapter 13, we find he is marked by his power and his ability. We find in verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now what in the world you have here? All right, both Barabbas and the Antichrist appeal to the flesh. The Antichrist is marked by his power and his ability. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, one of his wounds was, and we find, I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and the world wondered after the beast. That's the resurrection of the Antichrist. In battle, and we find he's going to be resurrected, and the whole world's going to rejoice, and the whole world's going to wonder after him. You know why? Because their names haven't been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now hold your seat. We're so close to that if the Lord comes tonight, you'd be left behind if you're here unsaved. And you might say, I would never worship the Antichrist. Oh, yes, you will. Now, how can I be so dogmatic? All right, take your Bibles again. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we see it set forth for our learning. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is what's going to happen to those that are left behind when the Lord Jesus Christ comes after us in the rapture. In verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now hindereth or letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. In 1611, when the Bible was made, the word let meant hinder. And so I give it to you. For the mystery of iniquity was doth already work, only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the voice with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, what are you talking about? Are you listening? An individual that does not love the truth is not converted. And we find when an individual is truly converted, they love the Word of God. They study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We have many so-called believers today that say, oh, yes, I'm saved. They never read their Bible. They never give unto the cause of God. They never pray. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what kind of walk are you having as a believer? Are you walking after the flesh or after the Spirit? I hope it's the latter, because it's very important that you do. Now, these individuals that are going to be left behind, to show you what God will do to them. Notice carefully, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The religious people that are left behind at the rapture are going to be some of the foremost followers and worshipers of the Antichrist. Now, you're so dogmatic about it. I have a right to be, because God's dogmatic about it. Now, look again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you will, and we find in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a or the lie, which is the Antichrist, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, which class are you in tonight? If the Lord were to come right now, would you be left behind If you would be, then you would be in that group. Because as soon as we're gone, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. And God will give them a strong delusion, and they'll believe him to be the Antichrist. And that's going on already. Because I'll tell you right now, not everybody's going to be converted, and we need to understand that. The fourth thing about Barabbas and the Antichrist is this. They not only appealed to the flesh, but then the fourth thing is this. They were acclaimed by the majority. The multitude stood before Pilate, and the chief priests, and the elders, and the council, and all the multitude stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, all right, I've got two people here. One is Barabbas, and they cried out, what shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him! Crucify him! And they kept doing that until Pilate gave in to them, and he sent Barabbas away. And what did he do? I'll tell you right now, he had the Lord Jesus Christ scourged and crucified. Now, how come? Because, as I mentioned before, Barabbas is a symbol of the Antichrist. He was acclaimed by the majority over Christ then and there. All right? It happened to Christ. It most certainly is. Again, Revelation chapter 13. Keep your finger on that, if you will, because we find very likely these things. Now notice, in verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Are you listening? That's going to be me. That's going to be me, because I'm going to be in heaven when this takes place. Now look again, if you will. Notice what it says. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now what in the world do you have here, all right? As Barabbas was acclaimed by the majority, the world will worship the Antichrist. Put it down. It's going to happen. And if you're left behind when the rapture takes place, you're going to be in that number. And you'll be condemned forever and ever to the devil's hell. The last thing about Barabbas was this. We find he was not only acclaimed by the majority, the Jews desire Barabbas over Christ, and the world will worship Antichrist. And then, listen carefully, the entire movement of Barabbas was one of violence. Now, where in the world do you find that? Go back again to our text in Mark chapter 15 and verse 7. And what does it say? And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. What do you have here? Barabbas' movement was one of what? Violence. Barabbas was carnal, and we find very clearly he wanted to subjugate those who would not let his, and he would not let his sword go unburnished. In other words, he would not let his sword remain free from blood. Now, how do you know? He committed murder. All right? What's the Antichrist going to do? He's going to find there's going to be an image made to him, and everyone that doesn't worship that image, he's going to behead him. And what's going to happen? He'll be guilty of murder, just like Barabbas was. And we find he's a clear-cut symbol of the Antichrist. His entire movement was one of violence. He was carnal. He wanted to subjugate and would not let his sword go unburnished. And we find the Antichrist system also is one of what? We find it's one of violence and death. You read again Revelation chapter 13. Read it for yourself. And this is coming on. Now, why do I tell you this? Because I tell you right now, my friend, today we are closer than a lot of people realize. The gospel is being preached around the world. The gospel that I preach on the radio is also put on the internet, and we find it's going around the world. We have absolute report that our message, the mercies of God, is being heard in China, it's being heard in Australia, it's being heard in Europe, it's being heard around the world 24/7. The gospel is being preached. We're living in these days, and the next event that's going to take place is my Lord's coming after us, and we find very clearly what he's talking about. The Antichrist system was one of violence and death, and we find two gospels are being preached today. One is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other one is the gospel of Satan. You mean, preacher, Satan has a gospel? You didn't know that? All right, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and see it for yourself. And you have here Satan's gospel, and we see it set forth for our learning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we find the Apostle Paul is preaching to this group of people in Corinth, and he said these words, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, And indeed, bear with me. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not heard or have not accepted, you might bear well with him. Then skip down, if you will, to verse 11 or verse 13. And this is what he said. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their words. Are you listening? That's going on today. I don't know where you stand with regard to some of these so-called big-shot TV preachers, but I'll tell you right now, the majority of them are preaching the gospel of Satan. They're aimed at as prosperity religion. Yet they're preaching that. God doesn't want you sick. God doesn't want you unemployed. God doesn't want you to be poor. God doesn't want you to do anything. He doesn't want you to suffer at all. He wants to give you everything. That's prosperity religion, and that's a lie of the devil. And there's another group that say, we never preach on hell, we never preach on sin, because all that's negative. All we do is preach a positive gospel. And the gospel they preach is the gospel of the devil, and it's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, I want to say again, we are living in the last days. Two gospels are being preached today. One is the gospel of Satan, and the other is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that's the gospel of Satan appeals to the flesh in place of the soul. Your contemporary music, which is sweeping across America and in our churches and everything else, I'll tell you right now, that those crazy songs that they sing, are you listening? There's no message to them whatever. They have nothing to offer but a lot of noise, and what does it do? It appeals to the flesh. And we have today a generation in our country that say this, what does the church offer me? The church offers everything that the individual will need if it's the right kind of church. And I'm going to tell you right now, they have the idea that the church is to entertain them. That's not so. When God calls us to salvation, he calls us to do what? He calls us to serve in the church. And I'll tell you right now, this is being bypassed and everything like that, and we see the appeal is being made to the flesh instead of the soul, and the shadows of tyranny are lengthening over this world, including the United States of America. Hold your seat now. In Congress right now, there are several bills that are being examined and will be discussed and probably voted on after the recess. And what is that? One of them is this. You cannot preach hate. They call, if you say, if a preacher preaches against sodomy or he preaches against a murder, that's a hate crime. And Congress is going to pass a law that will do this. And when he does, I'll tell you right now, they're going to go after this preacher. I said it years ago. I said, if we continue like we are, America is going to be persecuted. Americans are going to be persecuted for their belief if they really have one. And you better get ready. Now why? Because judgment has come to before the house of God. And if judgment comes to the house of God first, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And I'll tell you right now, how much longer we have, I don't know. But the bashing of believers are going on today as never before. And I'll tell you again, persecution will come in the future because very clearly the book of Godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going on already. Men today that are married to godly women, and the godly women want to come to church, and the men say, no, they can't come, and the poor women have to stay at home. No, sir. They need to come to church. And if a man says, I'll leave you, I tell him, all right, pack your bags and go. God will take care of it. Because I'm going to tell you again. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Allegiance to the Lord God of heaven supersedes everything. Let it soak in. It supersedes the marriage vow. When an individual is a husband and he says to his wife, you can't worship God, then all right, he's putting himself in the place of God, and that dear woman has to take a stand. Now you say, why do you tell us? Let me give an example. There's a lady that married an ungodly man. And so she asked him over and over again. She said, all right. She said, I want you to come to church with me. He said, okay, on one condition. He said, I'll come to church with you if you go to one of these meetings with me. Well, she thought about it. She said, fine, okay, I'll do that. So he came to church with her that morning, and he didn't say a word. He sat in the pew and everything like that, got home, didn't say a word. And he said that afternoon, he said, all right, now it's your time to go with me. So he took her to the cat tavern. And as they were sitting there, and he wanted her to dance and everything like that, she gave in to him, and when she got through, he turned to her and he said these words, don't you ever talk to me about Christ again. She said, I went to church this morning to see if you were real, and I took you here this afternoon to see whether or not you would stand for your Christ, and your Christ doesn't mean any more than my God, who is the body. You see, believers got to stand. And we're living in an age today where what happens? People love pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, how come? We're in the last days. Barabbas is a symbol of the Antichrist. And you need to understand that. And we find also what's going to happen. I'll tell you right now, as things continue, we're going to be persecuted, and we're a lot closer to it than people think. They've often said, it can happen in America. It's happening so fast in America, it makes your head swim. Now, in the light of this, let me ask you a question. Do you know Christ? Are you ready to die for Him? Are you ready to be ostracized for Him? Are you ready to be laughed at and scoffed at and persecuted, and I should say, maybe even leave your job? That's coming. Unless God steps in. But I have one hope, and that is it. The Lord said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your head and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. The next event I'm looking for is not the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker, who is my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Or if not, can you go down the line where I set this morning, this afternoon? Can you go down the line where I describe to you how God saved Barabbas? All right, that's the way He saved you if you got converted. You stood before Him guilty. You stood before Him helpless. You stood before Him wondering. You stood before Him without faith. And then suddenly, as Barabbas was released, so you were released. And in His place came the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to your soul as your personal, absolute, all-sufficient Lord and Savior. Conviction was gone. In His place came peace. And we find in His place came joy. And in His place came the reality of the Holy Spirit. And He's bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. It's the greatest thing that ever takes place, if and when it does. Shall we pray? Our Father tonight, thank You again for this opportunity and privilege. And we find very clearly, Lord, exalt Thyself in all that has been said and done tonight. Oh, we pray Thee, Lord, speak to our hearts like never before. Help us to be ready to suffer whatever You want us to suffer with or suffer for. But, oh, our God, keep us true, those of us that know Thee. Help us, Lord, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and help us to see these things as they are set forth before us time after time in Thy precious Word. O Lord, what a gracious God Thou art, and how glad we are that the hour is coming. Yes, we're going to see Thee face to face, but the hour is coming. But Lord, we praise You right now. The hour is now when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And if there's any, Lord, in this room tonight that are still dead in trespasses and sin, open their hearts, move upon them, bring them under conviction and reveal the Lord Jesus to them. And Lord, if they're not here tonight, may that take place when the tapes are sent out to the various listeners. But whatever it is, oh, we pray, continue to glorify Thyself in this endeavor. We ask it, Lord Jesus, for Thy sake. Amen. Mm-hmm.